This week on Our Beer Could Be Your Life, we get to talk with Travis Shettle, lead singer of Piebald and TS in the Past Haunts. We learned the name of the infamous Piebald bus, what their next holiday theme song will probably be, and hopefully when their next show will be, and that we can finally see some live music at the end of this year, hopefully. And it got a little dark at one point, so it's gonna get a little interesting.
That's true. Happy Friday, Oz. How are you?
I am doing all right. Just sitting back, having a beer on this crazy Friday that is 60-something degrees out and mid-March.
Smack in the middle of fake spring. So by the time this comes out, well, this will be a distant memory in our past when we had spring for 2 days in March. Mm-hmm.
Because Travis enjoys nice American lagers. I'm drinking a little Castle Island. Holding it up as if anyone can see it, but Castle Island American Lager, pretty solid. Our neighbors down south in Norwood. Norwell's the other one.
I mean, yes, not where Castle Island is either way, but shouts to our friends, Matt and Co. over there on the island that is Norwood. On the island on the Auto Mile, really.
The Auto Island Mile.
Auto Island Mile, yeah. That's a good brewery. That was a good beer. I'm actually drinking a beer that you handed me, Oz, from our friends to the north, Idle Hands Mons Meg Scottish Wee Heavy, because Friday, why not? 7% and change, super malty and delicious. Beer that I love. I love malty beers, and we don't get to talk about malty beers nearly enough.
I'm drinking a beer from our friends at our own brewery. I'm bringing a Smoke and Dagger by Jack's Abbey. It is a smoked black lager, and it is delicious, and I love it. And I don't know if you guys know this, but New England IPAs, they're out. The new like trend is black smoked lagers. So, you know, get on that, guys.
You've heard it here first, everyone.
You know what I really like about trends is that for some reason people release Scotch ales around St. Patrick's Day. Because they just associate the malty, you know, British Isles are like, this is the same thing. Get it on out there.
Yeah, yeah. Irish people, British people, Scottish people, it's the same thing.
Yeah. It's like calling, you know, it's like the same people that think like metalheads and punks are the same people. It's like, yeah, guys, what are we doing here?
Oh, you know what we're doing here. We're not able to remember the names of Iron Maiden's lead singer type metalheads over here. So that's the...
I mean, yeah, you guys couldn't. I can. Bruce Dickinson.
Fair. Thank you. Yeah, Bruce is not what we're here to talk about, but we should talk about Bruce Dickinson at some point. He'll be on the podcast in the future. He is famously a beer enthusiast and musician. So, you know, our people are talking to his people, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yes, yeah. We are.
Oh, Bruce. And he's a pilot. None of this is at all germane to our conversation with Travis. Travis is not a pilot. Travis is a pilot of the sticks behind bar.
Ooh, yeah. That's a stretch. Yeah. That's
that A-game Friday transition right there. I say 7.3% alcohol in this wee heavy.
That's right. You got some roast pork, I hear, that you're cooking that you're looking forward to, so...
Oh, yeah, we're narrow casting now, baby. We're going to be eating some roast pork. That roast pork, by the time you hear this, I will have eaten it, and it will be delicious. Five-spice Chinese roast pork butt. Pork butt, actually, yeah. That's it, pork butt.
Pork butt.
But to Travis for a second. Travis is the first person we've talked to, I think, that we didn't really know going into the conversation. I hadn't, like, really talked to him at all, and we were fans of his. So I think we did a fairly good job of representing ourselves as not total fanboys. I think
absolutely. I think we did a good job of just having a conversation with him and sort of letting him talk about what he felt like talking about, which, you know, that's what we're here for. We're just trying to share a beer with somebody. We didn't geek out about, you know, what effects pedal he got to use on American Hearts or anything.
I feel like you still want to know the answer to that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm not going to, you know, dig that deep. I mean, I'll email him separately after the show like a normal person.
Travis, if you're listening now, please tell him all the effects that you've ever used on all of your songs.
I bet it was Distortion. You know that button?
Probably.
That's a good one.
But which Distortion pedal was it, Joe? There's like a million.
Forgot we have gearheads in the chat. Yeah. Sorry.
I honestly didn't know you guys had never really met him before. It seemed like you guys were just like old friends from way back and stuff, you know?
Well, so, I like was fanboying hard on his day job as a bartender, I think, if anything. I was getting a little emotional thinking about, you know, the times we'd be doing these kind of, having these kind of conversations with folks, and you know, there'd be a bar between us and, you know, you're catching someone's attention for a few moments in time. And that's not what yesterday was, but it was a cool adaptation. I think it was fun to hear his perspective. I think I was forcing the idea that like you're a lead singer and a bartender, that's like the same thing, right? He's like, no, but thanks for playing.
He did say there are some similarities. So like there, you know, it's a reasonable thing to connect, you know?
People want things from them either way, either to get drunk or be entertained. So, I mean, there's, you know, a lot of desire in that position either way.
Yeah. I also just, I mean, this being an audio medium, the beautiful long braids that Travis is still rocking won't make it to our listeners, but they were a sight to behold, and I appreciate having seen them. And you can see them at apparently The Saint in New Orleans on a fairly regular basis. You can go have what was his bartender's handshake that he was talking about?
Way to blow the pod right there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's
you'll have to tune in to find out what his bartender's handshake would be and how you might order it.
Yes.
I mean, that is probably the most breaking news that we had. Oh, no, that's not true. He does talk about the future of Piebald, and that was pretty exciting to hear how he feels about it. And, you know, especially considering it's a band that kind of seemed like it was on the outs after Accidental Gentleman. And
yeah,
you know, back and surprised us all with the Christmas record.
As a guy who went to their quote unquote last show at the Middle East, he's really diminished the value of that memory by playing more shows.
Yeah, you should throw that ticket step away. That's useless. I do think about that all the time, though, like when bands play last shows and then come back and make the last show not a last show. You were there, and then you went to their next show, right? So you still feel good about having been to all of those shows.
Oh, hell yeah. I mean, it was also like a 10-year difference, so, you know, I was thrilled to get them back. And he, you know, they called it quits when he was 33 or 34 years old, so there was part of me that was like, this isn't going to last.
Right.
They're coming back. Come on.
He definitely has something to say now, you know, like from TS in the Past Haunts, you know, his band right after Piebald to, I mean, honestly, I don't like Christmas records, like full stop. There isn't one that I can point to. And that 7-inch, first of all, it's a 7-inch. So 3 songs is about all you're going to get me on a holiday thing. There are 3 very good songs, and we talk all about how prescient that first one is too, so I won't ruin it for our listeners, but we do talk a bit about Christmas and maybe an Arbor Day release, who knows.
Possibly.
You'll have to listen to find out.
Travis brought up about how, you know, how people treat people in the service industry, and as a lifelong retail worker, I understand the where he's coming from and fully support him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we talk about a lot about how like certain parts of our society we like hold up and, you know, create special flags for and like go all out and like and proclaiming our support from yard signs, but like the people who like make every day easier and worth living and like provide so much for all of us in the service industry and otherwise, we tend to forget those people. So it was cool to talk a lot about that. And, you know, obviously it was really cool to talk to somebody that we really love and support and are excited to see what they create next.
Yeah. It was a nice conversation, and it's nice to have that, you know, human interaction with people. And he's someone that, you know, does provide that for a living. So it felt very natural for him to just be able to slip on this Zoom call with us and have a conversation. Joe, how are you doing? Welcome.
I'm good. I got myself out of Harvard Library's virtual backgrounds, which is the first thing I have to do, stealing my wife's computer. And now I'm changing my name.
Sorry, we got my wife's Zoom room, you know.
Hey, Travis, how are you?
Wait, are you really? I'm all right. Are you really in front of a digital background right now or no?
No, I was right when I came in. This is my normal, actual physical library.
Yeah, I was like, that seems like someone's regular house. Why would that be your green screen choice?
You know? I don't know why she does this, but like, so she works in a library and has been working at home for the past year and has like a virtual library like background of like basically the entryway of the library at the university that is her background. So since I'm stealing your computer,
I guess it's a pro move, I suppose, right?
Yeah, for sure. You know, whatever it takes to feel at home in these times, there's no reason to question.
That's true. Whatever background you choose.
Yeah. You know, whatever you're doing. Why aren't we in person doing this? Why aren't we hanging out in a room after a show or before one? But, you know, we'll get there. I can tell you from your background, Travis, I aspire to live in a place where I need a fan right now. That's what I would like is to have.
It's on the lowest setting, but it is on. And I guess, yeah, you can really see that in the mirror, can't you?
Get a little bit. I know what's going on. We actually had today, you would recognize this as somebody who grew up here. We had fake spring today. We had 68 degrees in March. So we're like, I just put shorts on and walked around my neighborhood. And it's like, you know, it's not going to last.
It's amazing how it changes so quickly. You one day to the next.
Indeed. And it's a dumb old joke about waiting an hour in New England for weather. But does it get old being in a place where you don't have that same kind of sudden transition of weather?
Oh, but you still can. Here it'll rain for half an hour and then stop. And the rain will be torrential, you know, and then it'll stop and it'll... The other day on Mardi Gras day, it was 27 degrees here, which is the coldest Mardi Gras, I think, on record. It was cold. It felt cold to me, and I'm now a wimp with the cold. But 27 here is cold.
Yeah, that's real.
Run the water. When it's freezing, you have to run the water here because the pipes are not made to handle it, and it'll freeze. So you have to run them a little. It's insane, but true.
Yeah. I guess the Southeast is and the South in general has experienced a lot of weather this year that it's not built for. So, yeah, there's no,
Yeah, it has. It's been pretty wild. What are you guys all drinking?
Good question.
Yes, I knew it had to be brought up at some point.
Yeah, we actually like to end. So what we'll do at the end of this, I guess we've been lax in the Sebastian. In the end, we're going to ask you what you're drinking. And that's our like, hey, we're wrapping up. Kind of thing.
Gotcha.
But, we have been figuring that out. I'm drinking one of our beers. I'm drinking a Pilsner remake called Push of Pilsner.
Sweet. Very nice.
I have this Castle Island, just American lager. I figured I'd go with an American lager since that's what you're drinking or possibly drinking. So.
Yep. I have both High Life and Paradise Park, but I'm drinking Paradise Park as it is a New Orleans local thing. I was actually at the brewery earlier because they have crawfish boils. And it was awesome. And yeah, Urban South is great. And this beer is delicious. Also a lager.
Oh, fun.
The American nature. Yes.
They make some interesting beers too. They make some sour beers. And like
they do. They make a lot of sours. In the past, I want to say like 2 years, I feel like it really expanded. Like they went wild with all the flavors and stuff. They even have, they have a whole lot of merch now, which I'm like, ooh, you guys, this is a real thing. You got sunglasses, tank tops. So, but it's cool. It seems like they're growing and the beer is delicious. So good for them.
That's awesome.
I feel like the beer culture, from what I understand about talking to people in the beer industry about the Southeast and the South in general, is that like, it's really kind of an up and coming area for craft beer. In the past few years, in
particular. I would agree with that. Even this, I've only lived here since the very end of 2016, but even in that time, I feel like a few breweries have popped up, and ones that were going just got much more popular. So it does seem to be happening.
Where you work, do you guys serve craft beer? Is that part of what you guys do?
Yeah, I mean, we have Paradise Park on tap. Actually, we have some Urban South beers and some other locals. So we got a Beat It Amber. Abita is probably the first known Louisiana brewery that you can really think of off the top of your head, you know?
For sure.
Yeah, so we have some New Orleans stuff, and then like Brooklyn Lager and Fat Tire, a couple others. But yeah, most of it's local that's on tap. But our bottles and cans are, you know, they're just like domestic and generic stuff that you think of. Corona, Bud, High Life, PBR, Bud Light, all that stuff. But yeah, we do definitely try to have, at least on draft, some local stuff.
Cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
I guess I should say thanks for agreeing to talk to us and hang out with us and talk about beer and music.
Sure.
We appreciate doing that. I hope you enjoy the beer. I'd ask you about the 7-inch because I was thinking of throwing it in with the beer, but then I thought better of it for the sake of both the beer and the 7-inch. I have this thing that means more to you than it does to me, so it may follow in the mail at some point.
If it doesn't, it's okay. I think my response to your email is basically like, yeah, I do. I did have a copy and it is now lost, but it's not like I'm going to listen to it. It was something that I did have one.
Sure.
I think we say this all the time, but 7 inches takes so much work. Like, you got to flip it over like every 5 minutes. It's such a pain in the ass.
A lot of effort for like 5 minutes. Yeah,
it's true. But you are on a tricycle, I think, in the back of that.
I am in somebody's backyard.
Yeah,
in like Long Island or something. I want to say, on one of our first tours, we played the kids' parents' like basement or something. It was pretty fun.
Sure.
And they had a bunch of toys and stuff in the backyard, and I bet Andy took the photo because that's probably how it was going, because Aaron never had a camera and John probably didn't either. Andy was the photographer, if it was, you know, so
before everyone had a camera on them at all times.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that was certainly 94 or 5 or 6, but somewhere in there. So I did not have a phone with a camera on it.
I appreciate that the longest piece of text on the insert for that 7-inch is the thank you. You guys, I don't know if it's a combined thank you. It happens to be on the piebald side of things, but the thank you is like half of the insert.
I don't remember that, but yeah, we must have just went wild with the thank yous. So,
yeah, that's like, I listened to it the other day to reacquaint myself with early Piebald, and it has been a long time, and it is a lot different than what my brain tells me it would be.
I'm very sure. I have not listened to, I think the song on there was I Guess It's Okay, and those songs we recorded at that time in so long. So yeah, those are a lifetime away, maybe even two. They exist, but it feels like a whole nother thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'm wearing a Converge shirt today, and I was thinking about that, and like the thing that I think got me into Piebald and your music was like how hyper serious a lot of these bands seemed at the time, and you guys were not. You were not serious about.
We were a little more goofy.
Yeah. I appreciated that.
A lot of tongue-in-cheek wordplay and a lot of your vocals and stuff that made it for much more. Like, I'd find myself scanning more lyric sheets of stuff if they ever existed, just to be like, find the jokes, which is not something I did very often.
Yeah, it was. I don't know. I guess we're just hoping to be creative and push the envelope of, I don't know what you could say or how weird a song could be or whatever. But yeah, it was certainly, I don't know. We had some sweet lyrics in there.
Yeah, for sure. I was, going back from the beginning to the most recent Piebald release, thinking today about how prescient the idea of partying with your friends for Christmas would be, because like all I would give right now is to just like party with anybody in like one place.
Now we all know that Piebald predicts the future. I didn't know that until only a couple months ago, but now I know.
So if I went back to the first time I ever heard Piebald and said like 20 some odd years later they would write a Christmas song that is the most played Christmas song in my house is not like a prediction I would have had.
Nor me. I would not have that as well. But, you know, strange things happen. Yeah, and that happened. And that's one of them.
I feel like growth is part of the Piebald story, because you guys like came up in this scene of like uber serious, I don't know, like not... I love Converge and Cave and still do, but like, you know, there was that seriousness and that intensity to that music. And then, you know, you guys were in that, but then, you know, grew out of that into something totally different. And like, now you've got Christmas records. Before those bands don't have Christmas records. They're not.
Not yet. Converge Christmas. I mean, that sounds like it would be pretty sweet.
Yeah, I'd listen to that.
I would too. For sure.
Even I would listen to that. I mean, that's, you can't pass that up.
Converge Christmas. Oh my God.
Someday we'll get there.
Yeah.
They'll follow you guys eventually.
Yeah. It would be so wonderful to hear that someday. Let's just hope. We're hoping.
Yeah. That's what we're a hopeful podcast. That's true.
I guess while we're talking about it, why did you want to write a couple Christmas songs? I mean, I don't think I was planning on talking about the Christmas stuff that much, but now I'm just curious.
Well, because we'd been playing shows, but we weren't really talking about making music again. I was kind of pretty against it. And Luke came up with the idea after we'd been playing a few years of, you know, reunion-esque shows these past couple of years. And he's like, hey, look, we're getting together in September. What if we just try to write and record, and he said this probably in August or something, and he's like, why don't we just try to write and record a Christmas song or two, and we'll try to release it by Christmas. And I was like, that's a good idea, and it's like not a real Piebald song. It's more like I can put Piebald aside and just be like, I'm just writing some cheesy fun Christmas song. And it felt really fun to just write together. And I think that's really why we did it. It was like a way to maybe open that thing up again, you know, because it's been a very long time since we wrote music. So I think it was more of an excuse, but I'm not saying I wish I hadn't done it, because I think those three songs are awesome. So
yeah, it took all the pressure off.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It made it not as like, oh, I've altered this music. I'm mentally not sure how people are going to take it or how I feel about it. And it was just an easier way to open the door again, maybe.
And at that point, you were opening the door for, you know, I think prior to what was planned to be a tour last year, right? I mean, there was, Matt and I were at the Great Scott Show. Or one of the two, I think you guys played there, but then you guys were about to head out into the road, and obviously that plans changed in the past year.
Yep, we went out with the Dashboard, and then we actually finished our stint with him in February, and the Get Up Kids started it, and that's obviously when the world was collapsing, and they played like 10 or 11 shows, and then the whole tour, got canceled. So we hit the tail end, and we are so lucky that we got to play any shows last year. We snuck them in right before it just fell apart.
Piebald predicts the future. We already said it, so you knew you had to get it in quick.
We were really lucky. We were forever grateful to Chris, too, because clearly he wanted us to be there. That's the only reason. He doesn't even need to have an opening band, but he was like, you guys want to do this? Yeah, of course we do. So it was pretty sweet, and I'm really happy that happened.
Well, I think you guys are talking about making more music at that point after that 7-inch too. That was something that I feel like I read that was a possibility at that point. Did the pandemic kind of change the whole dynamic of that?
No, I think we still, I would say we want to put out new music. I don't know what form it's going to take. I don't know how it's all going to work out. I don't know where or when we're going to make this happen, but I feel that there will be new piebald music that is not a Christmas record.
You have so many other major holidays you can cover, so.
You're right. We're going Easter this time. No,
Easter records, yeah, yes.
We actually wrote a lot during quarantine, and now with all the modern technologies, we can do things like I start a song on GarageBand and I share it with everybody and they can put stuff right on top of it or be like, your song sucks, start again. And so then I do. We're like, it's really easy to share songs right now and just throw out an idea and see if they like it. So you just get, I had a lot of time since bars weren't open for more than half of last year. So I wrote a lot of songs.
Well, that's awesome. It feels a lot better than the last time Piebald got to do a release. Is like, certainly when Accidental Gentleman came out, like radio was dying. The internet wasn't there to like share music. It felt like, you know, the only time I heard that record was on MIT's radio station up here. I think FNX had turned to garbage. So it was just like such a like sad time for that release where it's like just doesn't get the due it deserves.
Yeah,
even like we get love a chance. That,
but yeah, sorry. I mean, I guess you get a lot of chances if you want them, but we're lucky that people care about anything we've made. I always say that and I always think that because it's true. I can't deny that. Part of what we did struck a nerve with some people and it means something and we really appreciate it. It's awesome.
I think that, you know, resonates with me in a lot of ways, and just like doing something you love and being able to share with somebody else is, I don't know, it's really impactful, you know, and being able to, for us to talk to people that, that had that impact on us. I mean, I would kind of look at this and say like, you know, going back to the idea of you guys being this kind of like bright light and this positive force in the scene that it seemed very self-serious and very important about itself at the time, that like I saw something you said about being a bartender, about being a party facilitator. It got me thinking about like, you know, your role as the frontman songwriter in a band and also your role behind the bar. And I'm wondering if you feel like there's any that crossover between those two roles that you've occupied in your life. Two roles that I think also were very impacted in the past year, as you mentioned, like no bars for a big chunk of the year.
Oh yeah. This year got the two things that I do normally, they both got really, they got shredded last year. But I mean, like I said, I feel like we're at a good time right now. I think we're turning a corner, but do I think bartending and being a front man are semi-related? Yeah. There are moments where I definitely think I would say the same thing either to a customer or in a microphone in a moment of thinking like, this is a sheer genius thing to say right now. And it might not be, but I might make myself laugh or some person and it works. So I do think there's some overlap and they are possibly related, but they're not entirely the same. But there is a connection, I think. I can make one.
I feel like they're like, I don't know. I've had a lot of problem in the last year with the amount of like respect. I shouldn't say it, a problem with the amount of respect. I should say that like when people are like, they heap praise on police and firemen, and not that they don't deserve that, but I'm like, that's one part of the society that's involved in service. And then you have actual people who like provide a service to you every day that you don't look at with the same like reverence that I feel just get overlooked. So people who are working every day through this pandemic, bartenders and people that you like rely on your life for social contact in some capacity, I feel like it's an undervalued portion of our society. And I always want to like venerate people who do it and like talk about it and like talk about the craft of it, because I feel like it's super interesting and people don't talk about it enough, like what it means to like serve another human being, even if it's just for a couple moments.
Some people will never know. I find that interesting. I almost feel as though you should be forced to be a server or a bartender for a year or two of your life. Just, you have to do it, and it's part of your life, because I don't think it's really appreciated. In some moments, you run into the sweetest people ever, and other times, they're rotten, and it's really unfortunate. But I think people might have a different perspective if they had to do it. And some people cannot bartend. I'm sorry, it's true. You just, they're not made to do it, and it's okay, and they probably admit it to you. But it does take a certain person, and I'm not saying you're like a special population, but there are some people that should not and probably don't want to be and just can't be a bartender. I think that's safe to say it. Not every personality fits doing that.
I don't think I could keep up with the stress. I think I would be messing up drinks, and then just people would yell at me and it would go straight downhill.
Just remember, it's like a $6 drink. In the end of the day, right? I mean, it's your party facilitator. They're there to have a good time, usually. They're there to enjoy not being at work. They're there to talk to a friend. They're there to meet a new friend. Unless you're really miserable, and I know some people go to a bar when they're really miserable. That happens. But usually, that's the minority of the people that go in there. You know, I think most people are trying to have a good time and be a social creature in the world and appreciate being social.
Yeah, especially now. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
I would hope the people that are spending the time and energy to get out are appreciative of you.
What they seem to be, it's actually been really nice, because now, instead of the Saint being a clubby thing where we're all really on high alert because there's just a lot of people, it's now like a neighborhood spot that there's never that the sketchy guy that you have to remove for being too handsy, or the, because there aren't that many people, but the people that are there are usually people that you see in the neighborhood working at other bars and restaurants and familiar faces in the neighborhood. And it's just become kind of like, the neighborhood has certainly, I think, become stronger because of this in a weird way, in an interesting way. We see more of each other now because bars are open and people want to support others, and bartenders want to go to other bars, and people that work in a restaurant want to go to a bar and give them money too. It's definitely a very back and forth system here that I think it's pretty strong and pretty supportive, but definitely suffered this past year.
Yeah, I mean, like, what was even like Mardi Gras like this year in terms of like tourists? Was it?
I honestly, that was the day, it was 27 degrees. So bars were closed. So there were no bars open. It was 27 degrees. They had already canceled parades. If there were tourists here, they closed down Bourbon Street. That's where most of the people who have no idea what they're doing in New Orleans, that's where they go. So I don't even know what it looked like out there, but the news report the morning of, I remember it looks pretty empty. And normally it starts in the wee hours of the morning and goes all day, and people are everywhere. So it has impacted the city tremendously. This is such a tourist place. This is a place where people come to travel, and it's a destination, and it's a very social city. It was certainly impacted this last year. There's going to be a lot of places, I think, that we end up losing because they just couldn't hang on. I'm sure. What are bars like where you guys are? Are they open yet? Can you sit inside? What's going on?
So we're at full capacity, but everyone still has to be 6 feet away. Which means full capacity isn't possible.
Yeah, I already am like, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. we've already seen a lot of like institutions, Eastern Standard's gone, Island Creek Oyster.
Great Scott's gone.
Great Scott. Although they're moving to Pizzeria Regina, supposedly. So I think but the other issue, supposedly O'Brien's is going to be in trouble at some point soon when their lease is up too. So like some of the littler clubs.
What about like the Model or the Silhouette?
So the Model is interesting. The Model, our parents' generation experienced the Model as like a place that you could get a meal outside of the city, quote unquote. And our generation of the Model was like, it's the punk bar in Alston.
That's what it was to me.
But they've gone back to making bar pizza. So they make bar pizza and you can go there and you can eat at the model. The biggest thing this past year was that our governor had basically like anytime you ordered alcohol, you need to have food with it. And like, so as breweries, we were like basically order food first in our tap rooms. Some restaurants had to just kind of like roll with it and like start making bar pizza again, which is what.
Yeah. Just figure out a food.
Yeah.
To serve, to make up what a certain part of your monetary intake.
Yeah. It's not even percentage. It's just like on the check, you need to have like alcohol and food on any.
Oh, each tab. Person. Yeah. I see. So it's like per tab. Like you, right. You're a human, you come in there, you have to order a food and you can order a drink.
Right. Yeah. Like okay. This pile of French fries stops COVID from traveling between the two of us.
Right. Yeah. That's what was a little weird for us here. There's a place that's called Down the Hatch. That's kind of diagonally across from the state where I work. There's a few bars in that area, but Down the Hatch is a restaurant as well, but they're really a bar. It's a bar, and you know that's we're like, all right. So you'll close a bar down, but a bar restaurant they isn't closed here, and it's like COVID doesn't know the difference between a bar and a bar restaurant, or like 11 p.m. and 2 a.m. It doesn't. So it's sort of, I feel like some of the things seem arbitrary. And then some of them, I get it. Like, I get why we're 6 feet apart from each other. I don't get why you would close a bar for a bunch of months, but a restaurant bar is okay. Everywhere is different. But yeah, we actually now can do 50% capacity starting tomorrow. But that hasn't been a problem in months. And before that, it was 25%. It's been like, I have never even had to think about that since we've reopened. It was never a thought that 25, it never even went through my head that there were enough people in there to be 25% capacity. But yeah, it does seem, hopefully vaccinations, people's logic, we're just turning a corner. So good.
Yeah, I think we I don't know. I don't know how anyone else feels about this. So we can wade right into it. But like at the beginning of this, I was like, if we had a strong central leader saying this is what we should be doing, then we would do it. But like what ended up happening is that the central leaders pass it on to the states, pass it on to the people. And then I feel like we pass it on to the individual bars and restaurants to be like, this is what we're doing. And like,
yeah,
you know, and then that puts people like yourself and us on the front line trying to explain to human beings.
Yeah, it certainly didn't. There was really no plan. You know, when it started, it's like, I think we all can agree on that President Trump seems to have had absolutely no plan at all. Correct. He didn't even tell us to wear masks. So there was no. So, yeah, he literally left it up to local government. And so I guess they had to just decide what was right for each of their places and hope that worked. And I guess in some cases it did, or some were better than others, but it was unfortunate because I think we wouldn't be this bad off. You're right. If the leadership when it started was better.
If somebody just said, do this, listen to these people that are correct and do yes. this thing.
Yeah. And they also have to do it because it's people need to see the person that says it doing it to know that, you know, it's real. That's true. That's what should happen. And he has scoffed at it entirely. So the people who think he's cool are going to be like, this is a stupid idea. And here we are, you know. So.
Well, yeah. I mean, I have family in Texas and I don't. And watching what the beer industry is dealing with there right now is breweries are like, yeah, we want you to wear masks when you come in here, and people being like lit up. Like it's the same issue. It's that you don't have somebody telling you this is what you should do.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, we're surrounded by Texas and Alabama's the other one, babe. Mississippi, and they both lifted the mask thing, and we're right in between them. Like, I mean, okay,
great,
cool,
great,
sweet. Yeah, also, people love New Orleans. Those guys don't want to be in Alabama or Mississippi or Texas. They're gonna come to New Orleans in a couple months, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little weird, but that I think this all started because there was no central leadership at the beginning. We're here because all the cities are trying to make their own decisions, and some people believe very different things than other people.
I mean, even just having a conversation about, you know, you're in Louisiana and someone from Texas comes over and I'm like, I don't have to fucking wear this in Texas. What the fuck?
Right.
I don't have to wear this here. Like, that's doesn't help any of the fucking problems.
Right. You do in this bar when you walk into where I work, you do. But yeah, so much of that. Yeah, it's tricky, but I really hope vaccinations happen really quickly.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that too. As a brewery, of course, I think it would be great to have. We hear now, and you know, that people who are vaccinated can hang outside or hang inside together without masks, which would be excellent anytime soon.
That seems like something that would allow like a concert to happen.
Yeah,
when you're getting to that stage, you're like right around the corner from a musical concert.
So you mean a musical performance from a group
where there's an audience that is like excited to be there and they're next to each other. That would be sweet.
Still not too close. They don't have to be too close.
I tell you where I'm at with live music. I just walked around my neighborhood and walked past the high school and they had the high school concert band outside playing music. And I was like, I'm going to go listen to these high schoolers playing music because I haven't heard any.
This is all I got. This is all I got.
I'm going to go listen to these people for free and like, you know, whatever.
It's music.
It is music.
Were they doing like 80s jams?
No, they were like, even worse. They were like doing like soul fledge and like warming up and like practicing like actively. And like, I'm still going to take it. What am I going to do? It's music.
Did it warm your heart a little?
It did warm my heart.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's the role that we're missing, and the thing that we're not venerating in society is what artists bring to our lives. We don't have a respect for what that is, and I look forward to a society where we do, because I feel like with a year without it and like trying to fix it by watching YouTube performances and trying our best to support our friends and artists. Like, yeah, going to Great Scott for the hell of it for a show on a random Thursday night just to do it. I miss that. I miss it a lot.
Yep. It's absolutely something that missing, you know, and I think a lot of people's lives right now. But we'll get back there. It might not be this year, but it'll be soon. And I don't know what soon means in the scheme of.
I just hope that we have an appreciation on the other side of this for what we were missing. I feel like personally I do, but I don't know how society is. And I hope that people miss it as much as we do.
Yeah, I like your optimism. I hope that as well.
People have to. What else are they going to do? They've watched everything they can watch. They need to leave their houses soon. Except for like my wife, who never wants to leave the house ever, but everyone else does.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people, I'm sure, are getting antsy. But yeah, I mean, I guess the four of us are probably gonna mostly just watch how this unfolds, really, right? Because we don't have a whole lot of control over what happens. We'll get a vaccine as soon as we can, right? We're gonna hope that by the end of the year we can go to a concert, but it's like the four of us times another bunch of billion have to also do that.
Yeah.
And then we'll be in a better spot.
I guess have you been offered any shows for the end of the year? Has your band Piebald been?
Yeah, we are theoretically playing Furnace Fest in Alabama in September. It was supposed to be, I think, May of this year, and then they pushed it back, and it was offered to us in, I believe, COVID times, with the thinking that by May of this year we'd be out of it, and I that's not what happened, or will happen. So September, I think it's the end of September, but I guess we just see what happens because we're not there yet. I would love it if it happened. The lineup's amazing. I would love to play a show with my friends. I think I can't wait, but it just might not happen because of obvious reasons.
Yeah. That's a show you guys would be playing with Converge and Caven.
They play different days, I think, but they are playing.
Yeah. That is like going back to like North Shore, Massachusetts, 1995.
Their whole lineup is like most bands I can think of from that time. I'm like, look at this, is like something somebody wrote a list of their favorite bands in 2003 on their notebook. This is the list of them, you know. But yes, I hope it happens. I guess we'll just see that. But late September seems like, hey, maybe. All right. But even then, it also seems, just even being at a show where there's thousands of people kind of sounds almost uncomfortable to me now. That's not normal anymore.
Yeah.
Sweating on people and being sweated on, I'm kind of...
Yeah, are you ready for that? Are you?
I'm not ready for that, I don't think.
I mean, I am curious how many masks I'm going to wear when I plan on getting into a pit again, because that's probably going to go through my brain where I'm like, should I put one on? I'm just going to go, just to be sure.
Do you remember Naked Gun? I can't remember if it was the first one, second, or third, but they have there's a crappy, funny sex scene where they have body condoms. Oh,
the full body condoms.
So that's kind of, I think, how you got to go into the pit. It's got to be like that.
Yeah, that'll be exciting. It won't have the same impact as pitting as a child did, but you know, it'll be fun in its own strange way.
Yeah, it will. Yeah. What else are we talking about?
Out of this just turned into a nice politics hour, so you know.
Yeah, this is a side.
Started. Gonna slot us onto our NPR segment.
Yeah, don't get me started. I don't know everything, but I am angry.
Yeah. Well, you should be. You're on, like I said earlier, you're on the front line, and you and everybody who else was forced to be on the front line of this should not have been in the first place.
Yeah.
So I feel like that anger is justified, and we should live in it for a second.
Yeah. Scott, who is the bass player from Dashboard. When we were on tour with him, he and I are both bartenders. So when we go home, that's our, you know, our day jobs. And we sometimes would just talk about bartending stories, and it was fun. And I'm sure he is probably feeling the same way as me, where you're like, is bartending like kind of over for a while? And it feels in a way like it is, but I know that it's coming back. It's not bartending. It's the virus. We're struggling under something that we can't control, and it's affecting all parts of social life, and it blows.
But we're getting by it, and you know, the service you provide on a nightly basis is a way to get by it, you know.
That's true.
In some sense,
people go to a bar to relax and unwind and think about their day or their tomorrow, and to hang out with friends, to celebrate good things, to talk about bad things. There is every manner of discourse and human interaction happens within a bar.
Within a good bar, yeah, that's true. I mean, and we're going to get back to that at some point, but yeah, the people that help provide that discourse, I'm just going to keep saying it. I feel like people who do it are worthy of our respect at minimum, and our devotion at, you know, was what I think it should be. So two bartenders.
Yeah. Two bartenders. Yep. It is shocking to me how I feel like, hopefully now though, that the new thing has passed, maybe some smaller venues and bars will get some more government relief, because I just feel like those places are just scrambling so hard for money and even give us a not even great job right now, because it's just not what it was. So what a struggle. For what is really weird to me is I know that nobody knows what to do, right? So the worker at a bar or anywhere is like, oh man, this stinks. I either can't work at all or whatever. And then the business is like, well, we don't know what to do. We've never experienced this before. You don't know, am I losing all my employees? Do I have to shut the business down? And the city doesn't know what to do, because they haven't really experienced it since 16, World War something, after it happened. There's a flu epidemic. I really don't remember what it was.
In the way back.
History's not so good. Wait, yeah. 100 years ago. Perfect. Cool. But now a business doesn't know what to do. And then on top of that, a city doesn't quite know what to do because we haven't experienced this in a long time. And then the state doesn't know what to do. So nobody knows what to do. But I know that bars and small venues in those places need some government assistance.
That's true.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
I hope that really happens in this next bill that got passed.
I mean, I hope that the people that have wanted to go out for so long, you know, come back and spend their money and tip really well, like they should, which, you know, I know, like, anytime I've ordered anything from anywhere, I've tipping way more than I ever did before, because I know how important that is for these places. So
that to me can't not come back, like that, this spirit of just going out and wanting to be a social person out and tip well, cause you're happy to be out. That will happen again, but I don't think it's going to be like, it's like a door shutting that it happens. It's going to be like, you see it in small steps, like it won't, this won't just be over in one foul swoop. You know what I mean? It's going to be, I think you'll see the baby steps of people coming back. So it's a full 5-year recovery, probably, truly. Because there's people that aren't going to trust going out no matter what for a while, right? I bet you still have friends that you know that probably haven't really left their house except maybe to get groceries.
Yeah,
true. So those people are probably going to fear this longer than, I don't know, my girlfriend Carrie that goes to work at Lowe's every day, and we go to a crawfish boil at a brewery because I'm willing to wear a mask and sit outside and eat my crawfish, and she has to go to work, and it's just what she does. She wears a mask when she goes there. So you do the best you can. The unprecedented nature of it is just so weird, right? It's like nobody knows what to do, and we're still struggling with it. I mean, this is going to cause so many mental problems, I think, too, that just we don't even know really about yet.
We all probably have a friend that may never see a live show again, that they're so scarred by this. There might be that one person that just isn't even willing to be in that room of full of people anymore.
Do you guys know anybody that has killed themselves in this time?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. That also, I know that happens. That's not, this is, it's not coronavirus specific, but I did sort of think that maybe it was, actually, you know, and that's, it's really sad.
Yeah, there's a lot of emotional burden that I don't think anybody was prepared to take on and adjust to. And I mean, it's been horrible.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is why I think the songs you've written over the years that have had just kind of this like optimistic bent to them, and like you guys have been party facilitators, this is like more, it's more important now than ever that we have the next piebald record and the next show that we can see you guys, and you can bring that positivity to it. I think that's, I don't know, I'm excited for it.
Yeah, we are too. We'll see what happens. We clearly, none of us right here have any idea when that will be, but it will be. We all, that's what we know. We don't know when, but we know it will. So there is good news. There's light at the end of the tunnel. I feel like I already see it because the vaccination thing does seem to really be happening, and it's just a matter of time before a regular, you know, 43-year-old guy can get a shot.
Yeah.
So we're almost there. I read something today that Joe Biden said regular Americans should be able to get it starting May 1st.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people in this country and in this world. I heard some countries haven't gotten a vaccine yet.
Yeah. No, we're definitely privileged to have some access to it.
Yeah.
In our state, at least, bottled beveraged workers, of which we three are in like phase
three. What a sexy name. Is that really what it's called? bottled beverage workers?
Yeah. We're changing the name of the brewery to Jack's Abbey Bottle Beverages instead of brewery. It just sounds so much sexier.
Bottled.
Yeah.
Wow. That's a mouthful.
Yeah. Well, we're workers and we occasionally bottle beverages.
Right.
Yeah. Now, I guess I'm curious about, you know, now that we're talking about the world after this and the world that we can't predict, you know, let's assume for a second that the world is going to be super enthusiastic to see pieball shows, everybody. And you're going to be selling out venues left and right. As a performer.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're getting there.
I mean, you sold out Great Scott a couple times. I know it took me. It was very hard to get those tickets. So.
Well, you got them. We did. Okay.
You did.
Yep.
But I'm curious when you comes to having your druthers for setting up a set and setting up what you want to play and who you want to be on stage, are there things that you feel like you're going to have liberties to do or songs you're going to have liberties to either cut or include that you're excited about in this post pandemic era?
I don't know. 'Cause I'm not there yet. Like I think when I get to that place where I'm like, ooh, I'm putting together a set list is something feel like I either really want to play it now that we're back or like I really don't now that we're back, but I don't think I've mentally gotten there yet. And I can't see why there'd be, I don't know what would make something more special now that we've gone through this pandemic that I'd be like, oh, we have to play this song every night or something. I don't know. You know what I mean? I'm not seeing the what has changed so drastically that we would change the set list or change songs around or something. I don't know.
Yeah, this is all very hypothetical. I'm trying to give you that clout to be like, just so you know, we're going to get the full Travis set.
The stalker might be like out for Me Too reasons. That's all Joe's trying to get at.
That's where you're going. I don't think I could write that today.
But what was it originally called on the Totally Travis record? Like,
oh, are those space pants you're wearing?
That's right.
Yeah. Which is from a very, very bad joke that I heard. But yeah, the stalker, probably if somebody wrote it now, people would be like, what a bunch of creeps.
No, but you can get away with it because you're so tongue in cheek. That's why it works so perfectly.
Well, thank you. I'm glad I was able to do what so many can't.
So many creepy fedora wearing people can't pull it off.
All right. I'll take it. I did it.
Yeah. Yeah. You did. Well, I'm looking at our list here, Oz. Sorry. Side note here. This is a recurring segment where I break the fourth wall and think, what else do we want to... I don't understand this question, but you wrote it, Oz. Who drove the school bus?
Well, that was like if we got talking about touring. I was asked
who drove the school bus. All of us.
I wasn't sure if, like, you know, it was someone specifically only was able to drive that or not.
No.
An Ian McKay moment of like, I'm only allowed to drive.
No, we all drove it. It was pretty sweet. That thing was awesome.
It seemed to occupy an outsized role in like pieball lore. I mean, it was the front and back of one album, and it was the first song.
Yeah, and we used like the door from it, and I don't know, it just came like a tour fans became sort of like your another person, maybe not a band member, but they were like this, you named them, they got you everywhere, it was your home. Like there's definitely a connection between a band and their band, and we had a few, but Melvin was the most ridiculously special because he was the first, and he was a school bus. And it was just amazing. We built it out, we had a little loft. Aaron put a hammock in it that, because the ceiling was higher, because it was a school bus, so it had that like raised by about a foot ceiling. So we took out some of the school bus seats. We put a hammock that you could clip to the ceiling and just bring it down if when you were not driving. It was our home away from home for a while. And we had a lot of bands after that, and they were all very special as well.
when you like pulled up at like the Rochester equivalent of Great Scott while touring in that thing, did you just feel like the biggest badasses getting off that school bus?
It was cool. It was definitely like, whoa, that's a cool tour bus, tour van. It wasn't really a bus. It was like the half size school bus, you know?
Yep.
But it did.
Did it have a stop sign?
It did have a stop sign. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Have a stop sign.
So legally, you could make people stop.
Yeah, and we had the I think we eventually took the stop sign off. We also had that like the real emergency door thing in the back. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we just lucked into it. I think it was over in like Methuen or Lawrence, which are neighboring towns to Andover, and Aaron saw it in the paper maybe, and we just went over there and gave somebody 500 or 800 bucks for it and left. And then it was, we used it for years. Converge borrowed it from us and then other people used it. Aaron would kind of loan it out if he could, if we were touring. So Melvin just had its own thing. And I bet you could talk to any band, if they don't have any connection with their van at all or a van over the years, something is wrong with them.
The American school bus has a weird like international appeal too. There was this story about this like this shipping corridor from Cleveland through the Great Lakes to Europe that was reopened a few years ago. And the first thing that was shipped was like a German millionaire bought an American school bus to bring to his like campus for his factory because he wanted to just like take visitors to his factory on an American yellow school bus. And it was just like this weird thing where it's like, how cool is it that I have an American school bus?
Yes.
We didn't know how lucky we were.
Yeah, I was going to say,
when we were,
some guy bragging to me about how they have a school bus doesn't seem that cool, but
Eyeballs got half a school bus.
Yeah, we do. It's about half. Yeah. And we don't have it anymore. I have no idea where good old Melvin is.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I wonder if it's in some
yard
somewhere.
It probably is, though, in one of the Carolinas, because that's where we left it, if I remember correctly. Wait, that can't be true. No, maybe we took the door off. I don't remember, because we had the door of Melvin for years afterwards. Right. And how did we? Well, I guess we had to have
the door is on,
yeah,
on Friends, right? Yeah. That's in the like, yeah,
we had it like at our house in LA. I don't know why we had to save that door. I don't know why. We just had to, and we did for a long time, but it has disappeared somewhere along the sands of time. But yeah, Melvin was special.
R.I.P. Melvin.
That door is
out there somewhere.
It's just someone's got it propped up in their living room.
One thing that Oz and I were talking about with regards to speaking to you in your bartender capacity was the bartender's handshake. So in Boston, our experience of this is drinking Fernet, an objectively disgusting beverage, with our friends who are behind the bar, because we all just agree in that moment that we like this thing that is.
I don't think we agree. We just drink it.
You just do it. Yeah. We have been doing the same thing with. Ready for this?
I'm ready.
Jaeger bombs.
Oh boy.
I know. I think we're all disgusted by them, but we're also sort of semi-intrigued and kind of enjoy it. So there's a little bit of mystery and disgust and grossness mixed with, I still kind of like it. I don't know. But they're gross. It's disgusting.
Yeah, you're destroying your palate and your brain, but it kind of just like gets into your.
I'm sure you guys had Malort, huh? That is a wild.
That's a bartender fuck you right there. That's something.
That
beyond.
Is when I was in Chicago. Every single time I'd go there, just like I'd end up at some bar, and it was a old style and a shot of that for like $4.
Yep. Old style is delicious. Malort is tough, but I would drink it.
You have to. That's like your, like someone hands you that. You can't be like, I don't want this disgusting thing. You knock it down and you move on. Also, like, Malort's like 15%, so it's easy enough.
Yeah. Just has a very interesting taste.
Yeah. Someone described it to me once as hobo boot stew. And I don't know what a hobo boot stew means, but having had my lord, I do know what hobo boot stew
means. Now you means. You have your as close as you can get really without having actual hobo boots.
Right. I don't need to know because I know.
Well, you know, when you're a hobo, you just got water. The boots give it the flavor and, you know.
Sure. I want to learn that hobo language that they drew on trains, but that's a subsect of a different podcast. I feel like Dennis is already making that podcast in the background. You know what I'm talking about. Is there anything in the piebald world that we should ask you to promote and stump for, and things that we should mention as things people should do when it comes to supporting piebald and y'all?
I hadn't really ever thought of that. I don't know. I guess like keep listening. Yeah,
we can do that. Mean,
that's really it. Appreciate that. Care to come see us play. Buy a record, but that's with any band. If you like the band, do that. What you do? And when you can, go see him.
All right, we're going to Furnace Fest, guys. Let's go. Let's take the shit on the road.
Yeah, can you get the damn personals down there? It'll really hammer home like early 2000s Boston.
Damn personals. Let's get them on the fest. Let's get them on Furnace. How do we do it? Who do we talk to?
Not anybody here.
I don't know. I used to hang out with, what is the bass player from the damn personals name? He used to drink at the Independent in Union.
Jim Zawadowski?
Yeah, Jim. We used to just like randomly be at the bar together all the time.
Yeah, Jim's great. I don't think he drinks anymore. I'm not positive about that, but I think that's true. I talk to Ken mostly. Ken Cook, he lives in LA and moved there kind of right before I left. But somehow he and I have become closer over the years, and I did not anticipate that when we were younger. He was the one that I was like, Ken's all right, but I like Anthony and Mike and Jim. But now I feel like I'm just closer with Ken. He's just someone who I've connected with. But anyway, so who do we talk to about getting them on Furnace Fest?
Yeah.
Let's go. I'm down for that. Unfortunately, it's none of the people here. I don't think any of us have that clout, but we can shout for it.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I'm curious, like all these bands that leave Boston, like why can't Boston hold on to our people? What do we got to do?
Make it warmer.
Yeah, we've been working on that. Global warming is going to sneak up on us here. I mean,
it might take a little too long for me. I might be no longer here when Boston is as warm as I want it to be.
Yep.
And that also means a lot of trouble for the rest of the world.
Yeah, also that. A lot of problems with warm Boston, but, you know, someday comfortable. That's Boston for you. Someday we'll be ready.
Yeah.
We typically wrap these by talking to our guests about what you're drinking and ask you to stump for what you're drinking and talk about it, and we will wrap with you. So
all right,
what do you got in your glass there?
Right now I'm drinking delicious Miller High Life. I'm also, if you noticed, a can person. I like canned beer more than I like bottled beer. This is Paradise Park. This is the lager I was telling you about that is from Urban South Brewery that is here in New Orleans, but these are my two favorite beers currently. And I'm drinking them both right now.
Indiscriminately. Look at this.
The other one's really empty, but
the champagne and beers. It is one of my favorite beer cocktails is the champagne and beers with a shot of Aperol in it or Campari in it. So you take one sip from that glass or can, replace it with Campari or Aperol, and then keep going. It's magnifique.
That's my local bar does that for me, and I love it. And I haven't been able to go there in a fucking year.
Yeah. Well, hey, soon.
Soon is right.
Soon. And now I'll have to try that. So thank you for giving me a new idea.
Our pleasure. Thank you for hanging out with us and enduring our geeky questions and talking about politics with us and breaking the news that new piebald music is in the world.
Well, it's not in the world yet, but it's in the works. It's works many works in progress right now. So we'll something will happen. I don't know when, I don't know how, I don't know what form, but somewhere along the line, it will be.
Well, that's going to be fucking awesome. And it's just awesome to be able to play music with fucking friends. So can't wait.
Absolutely. Well, nice talking to you guys. Thanks for having me. Enjoy your beers. Cheers.
Cheers, man.
Cheers.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for spending an hour with us.